Your sisters and brothers in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Amen. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Christ, the Messiah. He's the Word God made flesh. And as the Word made flesh, Jesus speaks the Word of the Father to us. His Word is truth. And in His Word is life and life. But sometimes that word is weird. Sometimes Jesus says some pretty strange things. As Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we're called to follow Jesus, to listen to His word, and obey His word, to trust His word. But what if that word is kind of weird? Let's be honest. Jesus can be kind of strange. And He often says some really strange things. In our gospel reading today, we have what are honestly several strange comments from Jesus, including the famous, "I am the bread of life" statements. Think about it. We might be so familiar with this statement that we gloss over its strangeness. Because it is weird for someone to talk like that, to claim that, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger." No normal person talks like that. Jesus isn't the normal person. It's the Word made flesh, and His Word is truth, no matter how strange it may be.
So today's gospel reading comes to us from John. The lectionary is taking on a 3-week detour out of Mark and into John 6, which entails what is known as the Bread of Life discourse. It's fitting that the lectionary leads us to John 6 because John's conversation here follows what we've heard over the last few weeks from Mark 6. 2 weeks ago, we read Jesus feeding the 5,000. And last week, we read Jesus walking on water. The Bread of Life discourse happens immediately after these events in Mark 6. Jesus feeds the 5,000. He then goes off by himself to pray and sends the disciples across the sea. Jesus then walks in the water, and the crowds then catch up with them at Capernaum, which brings us to our text for today, where the Jews, who were still excited about the miraculous meal Jesus gave them, are looking for Jesus to miraculously feed them again. And Jesus' dialogue with them is kind of weird. But Jesus is taking the opportunity to dive deeper into who He really is and what He really was doing through the feeding of the 5,000. He's trying to point to something bigger and better. But in doing this, Jesus says some pretty strange things. So the crowd finds Jesus, and they're puzzled as to how He got there. They're puzzled because they didn't see Him take His shortcut by walking across the sea. And so they ask Him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" And right away, Jesus' strangeness is in play, for He doesn't even answer their question. He dives right in. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." Jesus answers a question they didn't even ask and ignores the question they did ask. And in typical Gospel of John fashion, Jesus pushes back a bit. When the Jews ask Him, "When did you get here?" Jesus basically answers them by saying, "Look, you don't really care. You're not looking for me because of the signs or miracles, but because you ate your fill of the bread. You don't actually care about who I really am or what I'm really doing. You're just looking for more bread." And right away, Jesus gets to the real motivation of why the people are seeking Him. Jesus knows they're focused on the bread for the wrong reasons. They want more of that miraculous bread. And Jesus, He also wants to focus on the bread, but in a different way. He wants to focus on what the bread is pointing to, the bigger and better thing. So this initial exchange between Jesus and the crowd sets up the stage for the Bread of Life discourse. And so in the conversation that follows, Jesus offers His commentary on the feeding of the 5,000 and the true bread that comes from heaven. In order to shift the crowd's focus, Jesus says, "Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." So Jesus knows that the people were really excited about the bread and fish they had received from him. But Jesus knows that they're missing the bigger picture. The bread he gave them wasn't the main thing. It merely points to the main thing. To paraphrase Jesus a bit, he's saying, "I know food and nourishment of your bodies is important. I care about your physical well-being. After all, I did feed you so that you would not go hungry. But there are much more important things going on here. I, the Son of Man, didn't come here just to fill your bellies. And for that matter, I didn't come just to heal your sick. I came to give you something much more important than physical nourishment and health. I came to give you food that endures to eternal life." Jesus doesn't want to talk about perishable bread, but the bread that lasts into eternity. Jesus doesn't want to focus on the event of the feeding of the 5,000, but what that feeding points to, namely imperishable food. Confused, the crowd then asks, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" I think in their minds they are thinking, okay, Jesus is talking about food that lasts forever. Right. Not sure what that is, but how do we work for that? The crowd is operating on one level, but Jesus is talking on a much higher and stranger level. The crowd is trying to figure out what kind of works they must do to earn God's imperishable bread. But Jesus upends their thinking on works. And he responds, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him in whom he has sent. To receive the Son of Man, to receive the food from the Son of Man, one must believe in the Son of Man, who has been sent by God the Father." So Jesus is saying, trust in the one sent by God. Believe in him. Have faith in him and the work he is doing. You see, the crowd is confused about the work of God. They've seen Jesus do miracles. They've eaten the bread that he produced. And they want more of that. The results of the miracles. They want more bread. They don't necessarily want the one who gives the bread. They don't want the one who the bread is actually pointing to. They just want the bread that they might eat and be satisfied. They're aiming far too low. They're confused about the work of God and don't see that in the man standing before them, God in Christ is the work of God. They must simply believe in him and trust in his word. They must believe and trust that Jesus is the work of God, that he gives food that endures to eternal life. Not only does he give this food, but he is this food. But more on that in a bit. So the crowd's confusion continues. For after telling them that they must believe in the one sent by God, the Jews then attempt to turn the tables against Jesus by asking him, "Then what sign do you perform that you do, that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Never mind the fact that Jesus has already done countless signs and miracles. Never mind the fact that the real work Jesus was doing was to save the world. They want Jesus to do something special right now. Maybe another miraculous feeding. Jesus would do that, then they might believe in him. But then they appeal to their own history. They recount God feeding their ancestors with manna. "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." By referencing the Old Testament here, it's almost as if they're digging against Jesus. Sure, he may have miraculously fed them once, but their fathers were fed for 40 years out in the wilderness. That was a pretty cool sign. Maybe Jesus could do something like that. But Jesus isn't moved by this appeal to the Old Testament. He knows that the manna, like the feeding of the 5,000, served to point to something bigger and better. The manna from heaven wasn't only meant to feed the wandering Israelites. It's pointing to something else. It's pointing to someone else. So Jesus corrects the crowd. Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus asserts that that which the Father gives from heaven is life, and the bread he gives is life. And this bread isn't merely the manna in the wilderness or the miraculous loaves of bread. This bread is a person. And this person gives life to the world because this person gives himself to the world. And so in explaining his miraculous feeding and the Old Testament manna, Jesus is steering the conversation to its big mic drop moment. He's setting the crowd up. For after Jesus describes the bread of heaven that gives life to the world, the crowd eagerly exclaims, "Sir, give us this bread always." To which Jesus responds with a very strange, very weird, but very powerful and truthful and life-giving proclamation as to who he is and the work he is doing. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus has been guiding the conversation to this crescendo. He finally gets to the point of the manna and the miraculous bread. It's all pointing to himself. It's all pointing to the work that he is doing. Jesus is the food that never perishes, but endures to eternal life. He is the one in whom they should believe. He is the one who does the work of God. He is the bread from heaven the Father gives. He is the bread of God come down from heaven that gives life. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus not only gives the bread from heaven, but he is the true bread from heaven. So Jesus is both the giver and the gift. And just think of the implications of this. Jesus not only gives the bread from heaven, he is the bread from heaven. Jesus not only speaks God's word, he is God's word made flesh. He not only does the work of God, he is the work of God. He not only gives life, he is the life. Jesus gives the gift of himself. This means that the gift Jesus gives isn't just a means to some other end. The manna in the wilderness and the feeding of the 5,000, those were both means to an end. To feed the people, yes, but also to point to Jesus. Those gifts were given to point to the one who is both giver and gift. As the giver and gift, Jesus isn't a means to another end. As the giver and gift, Jesus isn't giving the gift of himself that we might attain some other end. He doesn't give us himself that we might then ultimately have our bellies filled or our sicknesses healed or that everything in our lives will work out the way we want it to or that all of our problems might be fixed or that everything in the church will run perfectly or that we might have earthly blessings or that we might be happy and on and on. Jesus gives us himself that we might have forgiveness and salvation and life in him. Jesus gives us himself that we might have him. Jesus gives us the bread of life that we might have the one who is the bread of life. So the gift of Christ isn't a means to another end. This is what the crowds were failing to understand. They wanted the gift in order to attain some other thing that is just so much less than the gift Jesus actually gives. They merely wanted another meal. They merely wanted another sign. They merely wanted a political Messiah. They merely wanted Jesus to heal their sick. But Jesus is dealing with bigger, eternal things. They wanted to lift their eyes above the earthly, temporal things, as important and good and beneficial as they might be, to eternal things, to himself. And we, too, so easily get hung up on fleeting, temporal things. In the church, we're dealing with real, eternal things. The church is the means by which Christ gives himself two sinful people in need of the bread of life. Yes, the church also deals with temporal things that are important. God commands us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." But sometimes, like the crowd surrounding Jesus, who focused solely on the miracle bread and missed the point of the miracle bread, we turn temporal things into ultimate things and forget the primary thing given to us. We lose sight of Jesus and his gift to us. Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. There is one thing needful, and that is Jesus, the Word made flesh, the bread of life. And as the bread of life, Jesus gives all of himself to us. He gives to us his suffering and death, his burial and resurrection, his baptism and ascension, his life and ministry, his intercessions and teachings. All of this is the bread of life that Christ gives to us. And he gives himself, this bread of life, to us via the word and sacraments preached and administered in the church, through the forgiveness of our sins and through the fellowship of the body of Christ. Jesus gives us himself through these eternal gifts. And in receiving these eternal gifts, we can then properly view and appreciate the temporal gifts he also gives us. Earlier, I accused Jesus of being weird and saying weird things. Well, perhaps we're actually the weird ones. Me, I'm the weird one. The ones who struggle to understand who Jesus is and what he's saying and the work he is doing in our lives. There's nothing wrong with Jesus and his word. The problem lies with us. But Jesus loves us weird people. And he only gives himself to weird people. The bread of life gives us weird people his saving word, and he fulfills all the promises that he gives us. For Jesus gives us his strange proclamations out of his love for us. So hear Jesus' word for you. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the bread of life. Amen.